Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From Psalm 31, verses 1 to 5. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me, rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net that they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Let me begin with a story a pastor once told. He writes, I was lost once in the deep woods of the Cascade Mountains in Oregon. I had driven up on my own, and I was looking forward to cutting a noble fir for our family Christmas tree. I stopped to pick up a permit at the ranger's office and drove to the area designated for cutting trees. A couple of pickups had already pulled over and were parked at the mileage marker on the side of the road. Into the woods I went with my saw and rope in hand. You should know that I'm not a mountaineering person. It was afternoon as I entered the woods alone in search of the perfect Christmas tree. I had too late a start and I went in solo. The tree eluded me for hours as a gentle snow began to fall, covering my tracks. As the sun began to set with no tree in tow, I suddenly realized as I turned around that I wasn't sure which way to go to get back to my car. Two trails appeared before me, neither revealing any clear tracks because of the snow. In this Robert Frost-like moment, two roads diverging in a yellow wood, right? I sat on a log and pondered which trail to take. I remember praying for guidance. Then it was still for a few moments until I heard a rustling and footsteps. A bear, I thought. Great. This ends with a bear encounter. I turned trembling. To my utter surprise, coming from behind me was not a bear, but Jerry, a member of our church, pulling a freshly cut noble fir behind him. He was the owner of one of those pickups I had seen on the road. I knew him, and he recognized me right away. "You're lost," he said, calling my name. "Totally," I admitted. Jerry knew these woods like the back of his hand, and he knew me. He put his hand on my shoulder and said simply, "Follow me." I did, excuse me. He guided me out of the woods. The next morning, there was a noble fir Christmas tree on our front porch. In the words of Psalm 31, verse 3, Jerry was a rock and fortress for me that day. I trusted him to, quote, lead and guide me, end quote, to safety because I knew him well, and I had complete confidence that he knew those woods. Yet both Jerry and I were very much aware that night that God was the one busy all day orchestrating my safe arrival home despite my greenhorn mistakes in the woods. See, here's the thing. It turns out that God is very good at leading and guiding. He is. You know this, right? Do you cherish and call on such knowledge in your own life? See, Psalm 31 is a prayer for guidance accredited to David, the former shepherd, king, and songwriter. And as a commentator I read for research would say, when I hear the word refuge, I can't but help but hear another word, refugee. And that's a word that's been thrown around a lot in the news here lately. Refugees, though, want out of a bad place and they want into a good place. That's really it. They want out of a bad place and they want into a good place. That's what David wanted. And yeah, I know it's kind of weird to think of David, the warrior, the king, the songwriter, as a refugee, but yeah, there he is. Hounded by his enemies, he's wounded by his adversaries. Life for him is miserable. And his life is such because people have set traps for him, says verse 4. Enemies have plotted against him, verse 13. They've spread false rumors about him, verse 18. They've laid siege to him, verse 21. And we don't know for sure if this was Saul doing all this work, or the Philistines, or even, yeah, his own son named Absalom. But this much we do know, David was in a bad place. And he desperately wanted to be in a good place. And although he's trying to find such a good place to call his refuge, he also knows deep inside that a real refuge doesn't just lay in a place, but it lays in a person. I mean, you can hear this reality in verse 1. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. See, pay careful attention here. It's Yahweh that he takes refuge in. This isn't another God. This isn't another method or program or New York Times bestseller or miracle app. He trusts in the God of Israel. He trusts in the God who provided for his people in the past and in he who is the ultimate refuge for any refugee. See, it's not enough to seek solace in saccharine-like sentimentality, because it's out there, or in just simple religion alone. For as the Bible clearly says, there is salvation found in no one else. So out of love for all the refugees out there that are just like us, we have to be truthful about this. There is salvation in no one else. And this is what Psalm 31 does so wonderfully. See, in Psalm 31, God is the refuge. Verse 2 says, he is the rock of refuge, which would give us the image of this huge, immovable monolith rising up out of the desert floor. Verse 3 says that he's a fortress, which would suggest this idea of a man-made castle or impenetrable fort that is specifically designed to withstand any enemy attack. So the psalm overall paints the picture of David's enemies and how they want to pin him in, how they want to enclose him into this narrow prison that will restrict and ultimately end his life. Still, here in Psalm 31, David demonstrates that he has complete trust for God, that he will lead and guide him out of this situation. And I know that because David asked God to lead and guide him for his name's sake. David can expect this from God because this is who God is. This is what God does. He leads and he guides. It is God being true to who God is. And please don't miss here the connection between prayer and trust. Here David is confident in prayer because he trusts in the Lord. He knows the Lord. The Lord knows him. They have this track record together. They have this history. David has learned that the name of the Lord can be trusted. This is obviously why he says in verse 5, you have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Even more, this is no doubt why he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. And those words for many years were a cherished prayer spoken for centuries by Jewish children at bedtime. But this prayer would take on an enhanced meaning when a once well-known Jewish carpenter turned itinerant preacher, rabbi, and savior would speak these words from the cross just before he died. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. On the cross, our Lord fell asleep into his Father's arms, trusting that his work was accomplished as promised and that he was safe. Again, you just have to realize God is very good at leading and guiding. The artist Demi Lovato has been transparent in the past about her battles with depression and addiction. At the 2020 Grammy Awards, Lovato gave her first performance in a year and a half. See, in July of 2018, she was treated for an apparent overdose after 6 years of sobriety. Just 4 days before this overdose, Lovato wrote these words. I tried to talk to my piano. I tried to talk to my guitar. Talk to my imagination, confided into alcohol. I tried and tried and tried some more, told secrets till my voice was sore. Tired of empty conversation, 'cause no one hears me anymore. 100 million stories and 100 million songs. I feel stupid when I sing. Nobody's listening to me. Nobody's listening. I talk to shooting stars, but they always get it wrong. I feel stupid when I pray, so why am I praying anyway? If nobody's listening. Anyone, please send me anyone, Lord. Is there anyone? I need someone. Oh, anyone, please send me anyone, Lord. Is there anyone? I need someone. When Zane Lowe asked Lovato about these lyrics during her January 2020 Beats One interview, she said this: I definitely feel that you can use things to cope in life, and music has been a huge coping mechanism for me. It's been very therapeutic for me, but there's only so much that music can do before you have to take responsibility. And you have to take the initiative to get the help that you need. Folks, the story of Advent is a narrative about God leading and guiding. From a fallen Eden where God promised one who would crush the serpent's head, to Abraham, called by God to lead a chosen nation. From the redeeming exodus of God's enslaved people to the return of God's people from exile in Babylon. From the prophets to the songwriters. From God choosing Mary to give birth to the world's Savior, to John the Baptist preparing his way. From Bethlehem to Nazareth to Capernaum to Jerusalem. And back to the Father's side. From teaching to the healing, to the dying, to the rising, from the apostles to the martyrs to the church of today, through it all, from every twist in the plot of our sacred story to the daily healing of our own twisted lives, God has been leading and guiding for his name's sake. Why? Because like David and like others before him, they and we have often made watercraft. We've tried to make boats out of duct tape. And yeah, although in many instances, duct tape is highly reliable as a means of water transportation, it's not the best. I mean, just ask an Alaskan man who attempted to cross the channel near Juneau with, it was quote-unquote a homemade watercraft. More specifically, he tried to go across on an inflatable duct-taped craft, complete with a paddle, his dog, and a conspicuous lack of a life jacket. Yeah. A local news outlet stated that while, quote, the weather on the scene was reportedly calm with only 9 mile per hour winds, end quote, a local Coast Guard crew nonetheless still ended up coming to the man's aid. When the makeshift boat started to fill with water, having deemed the craft unsafe, they transferred it, the man, and his dog to nearby Douglas Harbor. See, here's the thing. We know the Lord. We know him. And we do trust him to lead and to guide us because of his amazing rescue history. Because of his great sacred story arching over all of human history, we trust the Lord because in our own stories, we've experienced forgiveness and salvation. His leading and guiding. There are times for us, like David's, when we're threatened or lost or uncertain, struggling with which way to go. We've cried into the mic, right? That we need somebody. We've built our fair share of duct tape watercraft, thinking, oh yeah, that'll get us across. We can think. And we've been stuck out in the middle of a darkening forest, hearing the rustling behind us. I mean, we can think and do and find ourselves in the midst of some of the worst. We can be children who cry in the night. Then because of the Lord, out of our mouths falls this prayer that sounds a whole lot like David's. God, you're my cave to hide in. You're my cliff to climb. Be my safe leader. Be my true mountain guide. Free me from hidden traps. I want to hide in you. I've put my life in your hands. You won't drop me. You'll never let me down. Perhaps, maybe, you've heard of the poet Christina Rossetti. She's really best known for her lyrics for the Christmas carol entitled In the Bleak Midwinter. Writing in the mid-19th century, her children's poetry and her religious verse are still read and cherished by many today. One of her lesser-known poems, though, is entitled Uphill. and it presents this dialogue between a trekker ascending toward an inn and a voice encouraging her along the way. The poem is structured very simply. The uphill traveler asks questions, and then there's this encouraging voice that answers, and it's really easy as Christians to start to see that the questioner is somebody who's going through a tough time, and the one who answers is God. Take a look. Take a listen. Does the road wind uphill all the way? Yes, to the very end. Will the day's journey take me the whole long day? From morn to night, my friend. But is there for the night a resting place? A roof for when the slow dark hours begin? May not the darkness hide it from my face? You cannot miss that inn. Shall I meet other wayfarers at night? Those who have gone before. Then must I knock or call when just in sight? They will not keep you standing at that door. Shall I find comfort, travel sore and weak? Of labor you shall find the sum. Will there be beds for me and all who seek? Yea, beds for all who come. You know, isn't it great to know that in all of our uphill treks of our lives, in all the sinking boats, in all of the visceral cries into the mic, God really is with us to lead and guide? And doesn't it help us to know that others have gone the uphill journey before us? They've heard the voice of God in the scriptures and worship and study and even simply in the encouraging words of a faithful friend, and there is, and there will be, just as promised in this psalm, a rock, a fortress, or in Rossetti's words, is there a resting place? A roof for when the slow dark hours begin? And may the darkness hide it from my face? You can't miss that inn. Allow me, if you will, and one last story. I found it, and the personal connection is strong, but it's incredible. It's about a woman named Kara Tippetts. Kara Tippetts, an author, mother of four, and co-worker with her pastor husband, Jason, went home to Jesus on March 22, 2015, after a long battle with breast cancer. As the cancer spread, Kara courageously embraced her situation, trusting in a sovereign God. She believed the cancer was not the point, Jesus was. As Kara and her family processed what God was calling them to live out, she invited her community to join her journey through this seemingly impossible ordeal. How would she trust God in the middle of sickness, in the midst of sickness, and then how would she trust God even in the midst of dying? In the fall of 2014, David C. Cook published her story called The Hardest Piece. She refused to be defined by the cancer and considered every moment a gift and an opportunity to learn more about grace and trust in God. She believed suffering was not the absence of beauty, but an opportunity to understand God's love on a deeper level. Near the end of her life, Kara wrote this: "My little body has grown tired of the battle, and treatment is no longer helping. But what I see, what I know, what I have is Jesus. He is still giving me breath, and with it, I pray I would live well and fade well. By degrees, doing both, living and dying, as I have moments left to live, I get to draw my people close, kiss them, and tenderly speak love over their lives. I get to pray into eternity my hopes and fears for the moments of my loves. I get to laugh and cry and wonder over heaven. I do not feel like I have the courage for this journey, but I have Jesus. And he will provide. He has given me so much to be grateful for. And that gratitude, that wondering over his love, will cover us. And it will carry us. Carry us in ways we cannot comprehend. Dear fellow traveler, such trust, such confidence we too can have in God, because Jesus made the uphill climb from the manger to the cross and there found rest with the Father for us in his dying breath. Forgiveness for our sin, life eternal today by his blood, strength by his resurrection. Jesus, this uphill trekker, has proven that God will lead and guide and get us home safely. He will, because by now you must surely know, God is very good at leading and guiding. Won't you let him do that for you? And so as Christmas nears, let's simply pray, Lord Jesus, be born in us today. Be born in us today, bringing guidance. In Jesus' name. Amen.